Hello? Okay. If you feel like you need to turn your chair for a moment, I'm just going to be doing a little teaching time. So get comfortable, turn your chair and get in a comfortable position. Kristen was wonderful in giving us all of our administrative stuff. And if you guys see Kristen, give her a big hug. She has worked so hard. We talk like each day leading up to this. It's like, did you do this? Did you do that? Did we do this? And she's been doing so much, just getting all these groups together and getting all the organization and administration. And I think her husband's going to be very happy that not all 100 notebooks are sitting in her garage anymore. So, yes, all the fun things we do to get prepared for the gathering. If you would just pray with me as we just take a few minutes. And basically what I want to do this morning is kind of give you an introduction to where we're going to be going in our study for the fall. So it's kind of a broad stroke overview. And then in the coming weeks, we're going to get real specific and look at some different qualities. So if you would pray with me, that'd be great. Father, we just come before you this morning and are so blessed to be in this room. I'm just so thankful just to see all these faces and hearts of women. Lord, I know we all come from different backgrounds. We all have different needs. And yet, Lord, only you are the one that can meet them all. So we just ask that your Holy Spirit would come, that you would minister to our hearts, that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, that you would convict us, that you would teach us. Lord, we want to hear from you. We live in a time of desperate times, and Lord, we recognize our need for God. We recognize our need for a Savior. And so we just pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move and work in this room. I pray even for our discussion times in the small groups today, Lord, that it would just be a blessing that women can get to know one another and connect and build some new relationships here. So we just ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right. So I'm going to dive into what kind of we're going to be looking at. Like I've said, we're going to be studying the Proverbs 31 woman. But to start off with, I want to give you a little background on the book of Proverbs. Obviously, the Bible has different genres, different types of literature, and it's always important before we begin a study to kind of know the context of what we're studying. And so the book of Proverbs is made up of what the Bible calls wisdom literature. So it's wisdom literature. Some other wisdom literature in the Bible, other books, are Job, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, and many of the Psalms are also wisdom literature. The author of Proverbs, does anyone know who the author is? Solomon. And we're going to look at some context of him. He was one of the kings of Israel. If you remember, there was Saul, and then there was David, and then there was Solomon. So those kind of was the reign, and so we're going to be looking at him. And it also is a practical book for leading a life based on wisdom. Don't we need some wisdom in our culture today? Good wisdom for direction in our lives. And so what I want to do is I want to first, before we get into the Proverbs 31 woman, I want us to look at the author. I want us to look at a little bit of Solomon and how did he gain this wisdom. So if you have your Bibles this morning or an app on your phone or iPad or anything, you can turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. And if you didn't, you can just listen. I think I have the references on the screen. They might be able to put a little PowerPoint screen so you can follow along. It's going to be 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. Oh, there we go. So we'll start in verse 5. It says, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.'" Okay, can you imagine if God told you that? What would you like? It's almost, I mean, it kind of feels like a little more like a genie in the bottle experience, you know, but God's asking Solomon, what is one thing you would like? And so in verse 6, Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. So basically what Solomon is saying, his father David was the king. David is no longer king. Solomon has just come into this role, and you know what? He's feeling a little over his head. He's like, I'm only a child. I don't really feel like I'm equipped for this. I don't know if I can really take over and fill these shoes. So in verse 8, he says, your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So you can kind of see Solomon going, this is a big responsibility. My dad did it, and now I'm in it, and I don't know if I really feel ready for this. So in verse 9, he says, so give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. This is the heart of biblical wisdom. Distinguishing between right and wrong. If our culture has ever been confused, it is now on what is right and what is wrong. And Solomon in his time knew he needed wisdom to govern his people so that he could help them distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Verse 10, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will give you what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there never have been anyone like you, nor will ever be. So basically what God's saying is you will be the wisest man who's ever lived. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will also give you a long life. So basically, God gave him what he asked for, wisdom, and a whole lot of other things on top of that. Then, if you flip your Bibles just one more chapter over into 1 Kings 4:29 to 31, it says, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else. Now, you might be going, Kim, why are you going through this whole thing on Solomon? Because it's going to be super important to the context of the Proverbs 31 women. Because now what we're going to do is look at the specifics of Proverbs 31. Before we get into the Proverbs 31 woman, Proverbs 31 starts off with a guy named King Lemuel and his mother, and his mother is giving him advice. She's exhorting her son to self-restraint, compassion, and just rule. She counsels her son Lemuel against foolish choices in sexual matters, in alcohol, and in passing judgment. And as you look at the context of Proverbs, there's two types of women that are described in the book of Proverbs. There is the woman of folly, of foolishness, which is normally known as the adulteress or the prostitute or one of her wicked counterparts. The other contrast we have is the woman of wisdom, which is Proverbs 31. Isn't that interesting? Proverbs, a book on wisdom, contrasting two types of women. Woman of folly or foolishness, woman of wisdom, Proverbs 31. Kind of interesting how that all comes together. So then we kind of bring it even further down and look at the Proverbs 31 woman. She is considered a wife of noble character. Now, if I was honest with you, I've kind of had a love-hate with the Proverbs 31 woman. I love her because I want to be like her, and then I hate her because I can't. I'm like, how do you measure up to this, like, perfect woman? And I would kind of get discouraged because it's like, who does all this? I mean, please. You know, I'm reading through the list, and I just think this isn't a real person. Like, how do you do this? And so I've kind of compared myself, like, how can I be like this perfect woman? And then I would get discouraged because I'm like, I'm never going to be her. So I just kind of give up and throw it out the window and go to another passage. But then as I was studying this, I had to go, what is this passage really saying? And as I dug into some of the commentaries and studies, you guys, it was so freeing to me because a lot of commentators say, this woman never existed. This person did not most likely exist. What she is a symbol of wisdom that's being personified in a person. Now, let me explain this. If God just said, oh, women out there, be wise, that kind of feels like an abstract concept, right? So instead, he goes, I'm going to give you a concrete example of what wisdom looks like when it's put into a person, namely the Proverbs 31 woman. So basically, Proverbs 31 woman is it's taking a concrete example of what wisdom could look like in a person in our culture today. She's a symbol. I'm going to quote a couple of these things. It says she's a symbol of what wisdom would look like in our daily life. She's a symbol of all the contributions a woman can make within the culture of her day. So, if we want to know, what does it look like to have wisdom in our marriage? We could look at her. What does it look like to have wisdom in our parenting and in our family? We look at her. We go, what does it look like to have wisdom in our financial dealings, in our spending of money, in our relationships, in our service, in our community? This is the concrete example of what wisdom is in our daily life. Isn't that awesome? It's like now we're freed up that we don't have to try harder to be perfect. No, what we do is lean into who God is and have him give us wisdom in all these areas of our life. We can't do it in our own power and strength. We don't have the ability. God wants us to lean into him and to his wisdom so that he gives us the supernatural strength to live out these different qualities as we study the Proverbs 31 woman. Is that awesome? I mean, it's been so cool for me as I went through this study because it's like, oh Lord, help me to have wisdom in my life. Our culture has a tendency so much to focus on the external, our physical appearance, our wealth, significance in our position and career, yet the Bible is focusing on the internal and how to exhibit character lived out in wisdom. So how do we find this wisdom? If you look in the Proverbs and Psalms, remember our wisdom literature, it's by the fear of the Lord. Who is our source of wisdom? God. As we understand who God is and his qualities and his attributes, he gives us the ability to be wise. So the most important thing is not to buck up and try harder and do all these things. No, it's to lean into the source of wisdom who gives us the ability to do what we cannot do in our own power and our own strength. Wisdom is productive and it's beneficial to others. Think about this. Who's under your leadership? Your kids? People maybe in your community? Maybe you lead things? Who are the people you're influencing? You guys, as you tap in to this source of wisdom, your wisdom is going to trickle down into all those you're influencing. Your families, your communities, the women around your table in your small group. God wants to impart this wisdom so that you can carry this wisdom out to others. In the book, Elizabeth George, for those of you want the extra reading, she has a great quote on page 19. She says, "Life is a cycle of being taught and then teaching, of being mentored and then modeling. Don't fail to take every opportunity to pursue godliness and to learn from older, wiser women. And don't fail to take every opportunity to teach others, beginning with your own children, about God's standard for life and godly wisdom." See, wisdom is having balance in our life. And the Proverbs 31 woman is going to show us different ways that we can have this wisdom as it's in our groups or in our lives. Another thing that I think is so cool is think about your groups today, and you're gonna get to know these women. There's a lot of wisdom to be shared around your tables. We purposely put you guys in groups with people that are different than you, different ages, different experiences, different seasons of life. And as you start to dive into this concept, you guys are going to just be a flood of wisdom, of sharing and learning and processing this together. It's such a cool concept that you could take these biblical concepts and then share the wisdom with each other, even around the table. So let's look now at our main passage, Proverbs 31. I've given you a big context of the book. I talked about King Solomon. I talked about wisdom. I talked about this woman. So let's unveil her. Let's show you who she is. So if you want to turn now to Proverbs 31, I think we also are going to have it on the screen too. I'm just going to read to you about the wife of noble character. Oh, I'm in Psalms. I need to go to Proverbs. Hold on. And now with the context that what I've stated, now let's look at godly wisdom being personified. Remember, she's a symbol of what it looks like in daily life. Verse 10. So Proverbs 31, verse 10. "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night and provides food for her family and portions for her servants or her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear of her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for her hands, all her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So that, my friends, is the Proverbs 31 women. I want you to think about these questions even this week or even in your groups today. But as you look at this list and these various attributes, is there one that stands out to you? Is there one that's maybe lacking in your life, or maybe you need to spend a little extra attention with? What can you do this week to allow God's wisdom of that quality to take greater prominence in your daily life? If you have your calendars in your notebook, we list each week one of our teachers is going to be covering anywhere from 1 to 3 of those qualities. So for example, next week, Jenny, our teacher, is going to be covering priceless, faithful, and good. And then the next week, Elizabeth is going to do diligent, enterprising, and discipline. So what we did is we broke up this passage and focus on a couple key qualities that we want to look at of, again, of wisdom being personified in those qualities, if that makes sense. So kind of as I conclude this morning, I gave you kind of an overview of the book of Proverbs, and then more specifically, Proverbs 31 is not necessarily the perfect woman that we can never measure up to, but a concrete example of wisdom being personified in a person in daily life. Elizabeth gave me this great book by, her name is Ann Spangler, and the book is called Women of the Bible. And there was a great quote that I wanted to end with you today. It says, "From beginning to end, Proverbs is a practical handbook for leading a life based on wisdom. In the end, there are two choices for both men and women." And again, this is something, obviously, this is in the Bible. This is something men can emulate too. It's a Proverbs 31 woman, but these qualities are wisdom, you know, kind of when you think about that when they're in here. So there's two choices, to embrace wisdom or to embrace folly. That's so much of what Proverbs is. Foolish living or wise living. Those are the two contrasts we see kind of in that book. The woman of Proverbs 31 may well be meant to inspire both men and women with a picture of what a virtuous life is capable of producing. Shelter for others, serenity, honor, prosperity, generosity, confidence about the future, true blessedness. Who wouldn't want to be such a woman? And as we dive into this study, we just pray that God will give each of us wisdom, that we would choose the wise woman versus the woman of folly as we look at all these aspects of our life. And that there's so much freedom that can come because we don't just gotta try harder, we have to learn to lean into our source of wisdom and find that dependency on Him. So I'm going to pray for you guys this morning, and then we'll explain to you what we're doing next as we dismiss you into your groups, okay? Father, we come before you this morning and just are so grateful that you are the source of wisdom, that God, you want us to fear you, to honor and to respect and hold you in esteem. And as we depend and lean into you, you give us the wisdom in all the areas of our life that we're lacking, our marriages, our family, our finances, our parenting, whatever aspect of life, you want to give us wisdom. And so I pray for each of these women this morning as we go on into our groups. We're all at a different season of life. We all have different needs, but we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and teach us, encourage us, inspire us, help us to find the grace and freedom that comes as we tap into the source who gives it abundantly. We just ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what we're going to do